Members of the chair, whoa, that's loud. Chair will call the Committee on Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform Finance and Policy Division to order. There is a quorum, and Representative Christensen, I think you have a motion for us.
Thank you, Chair Mariani. I move to amend the 328 minutes and to move the line on the fourth from the bottom paragraph that says, and the amendment was adopted, to move that phrase up two paragraphs, and after prevailed. So the new line should read, Chair Mariani moved to amend HF 1834 with the A190268 amendment. The motion prevailed, and the amendment was adopted.
Very well. Representative Christensen moves adoption of the March 28th minutes with the oral amendment that she just described. Any discussion? If not, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Christensen. Members, today's agenda is quite simple, but in some ways complex. In terms of what we'll be covering, this is really the beginning of us pushing out our omnibus bill. And so this week we'll begin with an informational hearing today. We'll do a walkthrough of the bill, see are there any thoughts or comments, questions. If there's time in the end, we can always make sure anyone in the public who wishes to comment on the bill has an opportunity to do so. And then we'll return tomorrow to hear a few bills left that are pertinent to the bill in front of us today. And then also have an informational hearing with some community members working on community interventions with young people in our state, particularly with African-American young people in our state. And then on Thursday, we'll come in for marking up the bill, and I'm sure that's going to take us all of 5 minutes on Thursday. Please pay attention to the amendment deadlines. Please pay attention to the amendments deadline, which is noon tomorrow. If you're having any trouble with that, just feel free to give me a call. On Thursday, I've just been informed that Thursday evening we'll meet in room G6, so which is here in the Capitol. Otherwise, our regular meeting time and space will be here. So, with that, we're going to move forward. So the staff had a little bit of creative energy of late, and so we thought we would take this 201, I think, is our pages in the bill, and distill it down into a thematic visual representation so we can get a feel for, you know, what we're talking about here in the whole. And then we'll have our House research staff walk through the bill, article section by section, so that it's on the record and we're all real clear about it's in the bill that will offer opportunities for members to pause at any time and ask questions or make comments. My hope is that we don't get terribly bogged down on any particular issue, because we're going to have plenty of opportunity to do that, no doubt, on Thursday as we walk in with amendments. Most of what's in the omnibus bill, frankly, has been heard here, and a number of you on both sides of the aisle have been working to update some of that language, so language here reflects that work that's happened both by individual authors as well as teams of you working in many cases across the aisle. There's a fair number of bills that are in here. I lost track. I think we're at 70s.
84.
Oh, okay, 84 bills. About 10% of those are bills that come from our minority caucus. And a number of bills are bills that really, as I said earlier, are the results of some good collaborative work. For instance, Representative Hertaus, who's not a member of our committee from the GOP caucus, working with Representative Long, who is a member of our committee on the collateral consequences, just as an example. So with that, members, I direct your attention to the screens, and I'll walk through this hopefully quickly, and then we'll turn to House Research staff to then do a slightly more detailed walkthrough. Hopefully quick, but a little more detailed walkthrough. So with that, Jorge, are you pushing the buttons up there? Is that how that's going to work? Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate your help with that. All right. So as I shared at the beginning of the when we first got together, my hope was that we would really focus ourselves on community-centered public safety. And the idea behind that, then, in terms of actualizing that into how we constructed our time and had our discussions, we're focused on four areas, and hopefully we did well with these. Lifting the voices of communities affected by crime. We certainly heard from a number of both victims and survivors of crime to better inform and root us and center us in this work. Addressing systemic issues by reforming systems. We do spend a lot of time as legislators, I think, sharing anecdotal experiences that we've had, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's what puts the human face and the human heart on public policy. At the same time, we're here as state legislators to address big systems, hopefully getting at those very personal outcomes, but doing it through systems work. We visited Stillwater Prison, a number of us in the Corrections Subcommittee, and we hope to do more of that in the coming months. Part of that was to learn about Stillwater, but frankly, part of that was to learn about the systems challenges to incarceration at our state prisons. Prioritizing preventative over punitive measures. This is a constant balance, I think, for us here. I'm not saying that we're the first committee to attempt to do this. It's really about making sure that we're lifting up the values of applying what needs to be applied and not just focusing on one area at the expense of the other. And then engaging in collaborative problem solving. Hopefully we've been able to do that. I know a number of you have been able to work across the aisle to shape some of the language that's before us. So why don't we go to the next. So then the major areas of focus that are encapsulated in the omnibus bill are here before you. Focus on probation, and bail reform, post-conviction collateral consequence reform, sexual assault prevention, gender-based violence prevention, number of bills having to do with conduct of driving vehicles on our roads, and then a lot of discussion around police, community relationships and transparency, and helping to invest in and lift up the quality of our peace officers in our state, and then some work in emergency response funding. In probation reform, listed the number of bills or the bills that are in the omnibus bill, and then also listed out roughly, these are rough numbers, the amount of investments that we're making in this area. So not a little shy of $3 billion in the $3 million in the, I wish, $3 million, a little less, in probation reform. Under bail and jail reform, in a couple of bills, some of you will remember Representative Noor's bail limiting the use of money bail for certain offenses that generated a very healthy conversation here. And then Chair Considine's work to resuscitate and recreate the ombudsman, should be ombudsperson, Representative Chair Considine, ombudsperson, we'll have to do an oral amendment for corrections. And in this area, a little shy of $2 million investment. Juvenile justice reform, we had several bills totaling about $2.3 million. Representative Edelson, our vice chair, had a number of bills related to juvenile interventions. And then also Representative Dean's bill, which is one of, I think, several. Not all the bills are encapsulated in this omnibus bill. In post-conviction and collateral consequences, we spent a good amount of time on a number of bills with this. Y'all probably remember the post-conviction bill that immigrant communities brought forward. Particularly from our Southeast Asian communities, have been working very diligent with county attorneys on creating opportunities for courts to hear petitions in a post-conviction setting where the stakes are really high in terms of potential deportation of folks who are here under legal status. Representative Dean and Representative Lesh spent a number of bills focusing on expungement related issues, issues related to exonerated people. And then, of course, the big bill that Representative Hertas, who worked with Representative Long, around collateral consequences that comes to us by way of the National Conference on Commissioners of Uniform State Laws. And then, of course, yeah, the chair's bill on the indeterminate sentence release board or the parole board. Police professional development investment, we've had a number of hearings of late on this. And there's two ways to really think about this. One is, you know, appropriations for activities particularly related to the Pulse Board that are totally around $321,000. We are continuing the investment in the training component provided through Pulse as a reimbursement to our CLEALs that some of you on the committee worked on a few years ago. As you all know, that's been that was sunsetted then. The sunset makes it very difficult, quite frankly, as a finance committee to be able to carry this forward because of the impact of, on future tails. But in this bill, we do manage to continue the $12 million investment in the next biennium and then extend the sunset out for another year. So going beyond current law for 1 year, so that's $6 million. Going on, criminal justice reform on the roll. That's pretty clever, Mr. Lundy. And so this has to do with a number of driving issues and driver license, bless you, suspension issues. This one really fits, in my the chair's opinion, an important concept of decriminalizing poverty. We heard, I'm still caught by the testimony of the young woman who shared how one traffic citation very quickly spiraled into an almost, well, frankly, an impossible financial situation for her that led to driver revocations for someone that, you know, initially made just a poor mistake. And I think her story is really illustrative of what happens to a number of people because of the inability to And her story is a little bit more complex, but the inability to meet the level of fines, particularly as they compound. So good, strong attention to doing some reform in this area. Chair Lesh has worked on a number of these issues, which are also present in his division in judiciary and civil law. There were several bills on cannabis. Of course, the chair had the task force bill. Representative Dean has the adjusted, the graduated adjustment of penalties. Representative Kwan, who's not a member of this committee, brought, I thought, a really interesting bill that we really need to pay attention to relative to knowing the impact of driving under the influence of THC and being able to develop ways in which we can objectively measure that. And I certainly learned that that's not as easy as doing it with alcohol. And then the Dean bill actually generates some savings, which we were then able to plow back into investments. Yeah, there's a typo in there. I wish you could save us $6 million. Maybe not $6 billion. Yeah. So $647,000, and a little bit more than $1 million in the second biennium. Gender-based violence prevention was a big focus of this committee, and I have to say my hats off to the prior committee. Representative Johnson, you and your members, I think, pushed out a number of important bills in this area that we were able to, because those were not successful, of course, you know, when we had the veto of the big one bill at the end of last year. And yet there was broad bipartisan ownership and agreement that we should lift those back up and push those out again. So there's a number of bills here, including some new bills. I want to particularly thank Representative O'Neill for providing leadership on this issue for quite a while now, and for engaging very professionally at the table in terms of continuing to shape this for this year, and working with Representative Moeller in particular in that regard. So thank you, Representative Moeller, for your work. And so I think it really captures, you know, we are going to fight like heck on a number of issues. Just wait till Thursday. But we are going to also find lots of areas where we can push forward good public policy. The next page is the sexual assault prevention work, which continues in that same vein. And then let me just try to wrap up quickly here. The emergency response funding. We didn't spend a lot of time, frankly, members, in this area. Perhaps it's an area where we may want to focus a little bit more attention in the coming, in the next year. What's that? Oh, yeah, you got to move the slide forward. But there are, it is a part of this, the jurisdiction of this committee to pay attention and to fund and provide guidance for emergency response funding. I think our state is second to none when it comes to having strong infrastructure and smart methodologies. And my time is running out, it sounds like. a voice from above. The safety and security investments, this covers a broad area, a number of small bills, Representative Brand's bill. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce this, DMT, which is a meth, I believe a meth-related, in the meth family, if you will, of controlled substances, adding that, identifying that and adding that to our criminal code and focus for intervention. Representative Tapke's security screening systems, which was a popular item of discussion when we were out in Stillwater. And then, of course, the big, and Representative Christensen's investment in the Minnesota School Safety Center funding. In recent years, you all know that school safety has become an increasingly important public policy area for us and for the rest of the nation. And then Chair Considine's investment in the correctional officers to get us to a safe level of COs in our prison facilities. That really constitutes the bulk of that $7 million investment in safety and security investments. And then finally, irresponsible driving accountability issues. I probably mixed that up earlier with some of the driving bills and comments that I made. We all remember Chair Joachim's light rail transit bill with the two young men who lost their young brother to a tragic incident that state law simply did not cover. And so sometimes part of what we do here is to address issues where the state has often inadvertently remained silent and unfortunately then allows a wrong to go unaddressed. Representative O'Neill's ignition interlock device bill, which I think was work that you worked on last year as well in previous years. And
yes, I did do that, but it's actually not in the bill. In the 2792 bill, it's not there.
Well, then let's make sure it gets in the bill.
So, yes.
Good, on the record. Yeah.
Thank you.
Representative Considine's bill, negligent driving causing death to injury while using a cell phone or electronic device and creating penalties for that. And another powerful example of where a personal anecdote and story meets the need for big systemic adjustment in our laws. Mental illness and neurodiversity awareness. We had an incredibly, I think this was Representative Dean's bill with the autism policing communities where, all our communities, autism is present. And being able to have state direction on our expectations and providing resources so that we can continually add to the skills of our police officers. So that is just a very quick, maybe not very quick, but is a summary run through by theme of the bills. Many of the bills, not all the bills that are incorporated in the omnibus bill. Bless you. And with that, members, I'm going to turn over to our House research staff to then begin walk us through the bill. And I would certainly invite members if at some point there's something that you want to interject, feel free, and I'll call on you. Again, most of these provisions are reflected in bill hearings that we've had before. And as Representative O'Neill shared, some provisions are not in here, but frankly should be in here. So that's what Thursday is going to be about for us to amend onto this bill. So with that, I'm going to turn to our House research staff. I think they're going to flip a coin for it. Mr. Walls, it looks like you're being picked.
Mr. Chair, instead of going through Article 1, I'll walk members through the spreadsheet. And then
very well. That is an easier way to do it. And so I want to make sure everyone has the spreadsheet. Oh, okay. So it's attached to the sheet that says Omnibus Bill List. And it begins on page, looks like it's the fourth page.
So Mr. Chair.
Mr. Walz.
Beginning on the first page, under sentencing guidelines, we have, essentially, we only have one difference from the governor's request at this date, and I'll get to that later in the bill, but otherwise, under all the agencies, if the governor had put in a request for initiatives, we funded those initiatives. So starting on page one, under sentencing guidelines, you can see on line five, there's an operating adjustment of a few thousand dollars a year. And we also include on line six, House File 997, this was a representative long bill for sentencing guidelines to establish early release targets. Moving down to line 11 for public safety, under Homeland Security and Emergency Management, line 17, we fund the Minnesota School Safety Center at $250,000 a year. There is $3,000 per year for IT enhancements on line 18. On line 19, we have House File 1850, Supplemental Nonprofit Security Grants, receives $300,000 in 2020 and 2021, and there's an additional $150,000 in fiscal 2022. On line 20, House File 1273, Emergency Management Readiness Grants, there's $300,000 a year in 2020 and 2021. And on line 21, House File 377, Emergency Responder Training Reimbursements, we have provided $250,000 in fiscal 2020 only. Moving down to line 28, Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, we have the governor's requests for automated fingerprint systems, predatory crimes investigators, FBI cybersecurity compliance, vulnerable adult investigations, the agency's request for IT enhancements, and on line 39, gun violence prevention. Moving to line 40, we have House File 2709, which is a community policing database. There's $50,000 for equipment for the department. And on line 41, there is drug support enhancement. This was a governor's request that is in conjunction with his opioid policy bill.
And Mr. Wall said that that will be funded through essentially a special revenue fund generated in a bill being carried.
Mr. Chair, there has been a bill that is moved separately and in the House, and I understood passed the Senate yesterday, that is different from the governor's proposal. And in that proposal, it raises $20 million and spends the entire $20 million. So the language in this bill assumes that if there is any overage collected above that $20 million, to the extent that money is available, it will be spent for these purposes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that brings us to the top of page two. And on page two, the fire marshal essentially receives its base funding, and there was a governor's request for IT enhancements of $190,000 per year. Board of Firefighter Training is receiving their base with no changes. And on line 69 brings us to gambling and alcohol enforcement. There is, on line 73, $175,000 the first year and $165,000 ongoing. It's for enforcement of House File 1909, which is direct wine shippers. There's also revenue listed later in this bill that pays for that cost. Mr. Chair, going to the top of page three, the Office of Justice Programs, we have the on line 83, the governor's request for a task force on indigenous women, $105,000 the first year, $45,000 the second. And on line 84, IT enhancements of $22,000 a year. That brings us to line 85, which is House File 418, Criminal Sexual Conduct Working Group, $23,000 in fiscal 2020. On line 86, House File 665, the Youth Intervention Program, receives $500,000 a year for 2 years. On line 87, House File 1604, the Child Law Center, receives $150,000 for 2 years. on line 88, House File 717, the Cannabis Task Force, $100,000 in fiscal 2020. On line 89, House File 464, Domestic Abuse Transformation, $783,000 for 2 years. On line 90, House File 2405, Emergency Medical Service Regulatory Board, $100,000 a year for 2 years. On line 91, House File 530, the Veterans Domestic Abuse Prevention Program, $200,000 for 2 years. On line 92, 2709, the Community Policing Database Grants, $200,000 in fiscal 2020. On line 93, House File 2460, the Law Enforcement Excellence Task Force, $250,000 in fiscal year 2020. On line 94, House File, that was a recently introduced bill, Mr. Chair. House File 2785, thank you, Mr. Holquist. Sex Trafficking Investigations Coordinator, $100,000 a year. That is an ongoing expense. On line 95, House File 1520, 911 dispatcher CPR training is $50,000 in fiscal 2020. And on line 96, there is a sunset of the Pathways to Policing program that was passed 2 years ago and funded in fiscal year 2019. That is a savings of $400,000 per year. Mr. Chair, moving down to emergency communication networks on line 104, there is $395,000 a year in IT enhancements. That comes from the emergency 911 fund. That brings us to the end of public safety. So moving to page 4. This is for the post board. There is one major difference from the governor's request, and that is we have shifted the post board over to the general fund and sent the revenues that would ordinarily go into the post board's account into the general fund. On line 127, line 128, there's $155,000 a year for a new staff person to do rulemaking duties under the post board. On line 129, House File 334, membership expanded by one person is a few thousand dollars a year. And on line 130, extend the training reimbursements. Several years ago, we passed $6 million a year for extra training reimbursements to local jurisdictions for police training. We've extended that into fiscal year 2020 or 2022. And the $6 million is shown in that column. Mr. Chair, moving down to line 136, the Private Detectives Board, the governor's request was for an additional oversight position, and that is included in this bill. Mr. Chair, moving down to the Department of Corrections, in the institutions area beginning on line 148, they have an operating adjustment for some salaries and insurance. The House funded that. On line 149, the governor had requested 120 new guards and some additional ancillary positions. The House bill funds up to 110, but that is achieved by fiscal year 2023 as currently in the bill. On line 150, offender health care, the governor's request is fully funded. On line 151, victim notification and juvenile corrections management, the governor's request is fully funded. On line 152, House File 15, voluntary relationship defense eliminated in sexual assault cases is included, and the bed impact is shown on that line. On line 153, the bed impact of House File 1375 increased penalties for distracted driving. On line 154, House File 812, criminal sexual conduct of a person in authority, the bed impact is shown on that line. On line 155, marijuana thresholds are reduced, and the bed savings are shown on that line. On line 156, increased child pornography penalties, the bed impact is shown on that line, and that was the language is amended slightly from what we heard in committee originally. On line 157, House File 1055, crim sex conduct criminal sexual conducts perpetrated on people that are in custody. The bed impact is shown on that line, on line 158, 734, sex offense statute of limitations removed, and the bed impact on that line, 159, House File 480, criminal sexual conduct definitions, and the bed impact there. And on line 160, dimethyltryptamine treated the same as meth, and the general fund bed impact is shown on that line. And again, on line 163, we have the governor's request for opioid treatment within the Department of Corrections. But again, this is only to the extent that funding remains above the $20 million that was passed in, I believe, both House and Senate bills. Mr. Chair, that brings us to the top of page 5, community services in the Department of Corrections. On line 173, we have the governor's operating adjustment. Following that, on line 174, prison security and safety, pretrial assessment and supervision, intensive supervised release, integrated case management, electronic monitoring, transitional housing, victim notification and juvenile corrections management, reducing recidivism and connecting families. These are all governor's requests that are fully funded in the House bill. On line 181, we've also included House File 1028, Alternatives to Incarceration, $240,000 a year for 2 years. On line 182, House File 474, Mental Health Community Supervision, $400,000 for 2 years. $400,000 a year for 2 years. On line 183, House File 689, Probation Support Grant, $200,000 a year for 2 years. On line 184, House File 2128, Intermediate Sentence Release Board was a $39,000 a year fiscal note that is included, and that is ongoing money. On line 185, dosage probation is $200,000 the first year. Mr. Chair, moving down to operations support, we funded on lines 193 and 194 the governor's requests for their operating adjustment for salaries and insurance and additional prison security and safety. Mr. Chair, that brings us down to line 202. This bill includes House File 1375 for distracted driving, and there was an additional request by the Public Defense Board to provide the accused with a defense in court, and the costs of that are shown on that line. It's $164,000 the first year and $204,000 each year after that. I believe that is for two attorney positions, Mr. Chair. On line 206, the Department of Health, we included House File 733, and there are rulemaking dollars in that provision. And on line 208, House File 469, the DWI study or the thresholds for THC levels in blood that the chair talked about earlier, there's $300,000, $200,000 the first year and $100,000 the second to the Department of Health for that purpose. On line 211, the Supreme Court, uniform collateral consequences. Mr. Chair, that is actually, that is a revenue loss, and on future spreadsheets that will be shown on a different line, but there is no appropriation to the Department of Revenue. No, I'm sorry. No, Mr. Chair, that is, I'm confusing that with a bill in another committee. That is actually staffing costs at the Supreme Court. Mr. Chair, on line 215, under the Department of Human Services, they, as a result of House File 982 collateral consequences, they needed some staff time in addition to help people with that bill, and that's $400,000 the first year, $404,000 the first year, $449,000 the second year, and $272,000 ongoing. So, Mr. Chair, that takes us to the last page. The other general fund spending, there's a statutory transfer to the community justice account that was a result of the drug reform bill of a few years ago. That's $461,000 ongoing. We have the totals on line 225 through 232. We have some revenue adjustments. There are many in the governor's column that deal with the post board, and we have removed those because of our transferring the post board to the general fund. On line 239. We have included House File 1061, a license suspension prohibition. That creates a loss to the general fund, or excuse me, causes a loss to DVS funds, so we use general fund to backfill to keep them whole. That's $450,000. $453,000 the first year, and $474,000 every year after that. On line 240, this is just some accounting for moving the post board to the general fund. On line 241, House File 1909, the direct wine shippers fee. This is the revenue to offset the cost in the board of alcohol and gambling enforcement. And I believe this is from a $170 fee imposed on each out-of-state wine shipper. So, Mr. Chair, after that, on line 246, we have the post board's deficiency for fiscal 2019 of $500,000. On line 247, we had two bills that required Minlar's systems costs that totaled slightly over $100,000 between the two. We rounded that to $100,000 to do the systems costs at the Department of Public Safety. Mr. Chair, we are, with those changes, we meet our targets exactly in this biennium and next biennium, and there are some other fiscal impacts on lines 255, 256, and 257 that relate to special revenue funds as a result of the provisions I've previously talked about.
Thank you, Mr. Walson. By the way, members, there's, I think autocorrect is one of those things that just, drives me nuts. And so it looks like there was an autocorrect on line 184. Mr. Hopeless pointed out that we're not creating an intermediate sentencing release board, but I can see where autocorrect would have preferred to use that word. It's indeterminate okay. Sentencing release board. And members, so Mr. Walson walked through essentially Article 1 of the bill. There is rider language, of course, attached, throughout that. And so make sure you pay attention to rider language. I thought Mr. Walsh did a pretty good job of identifying, those particular unique instances that are that translate into the rider language. But just make sure that you look through those carefully. So with that, I think we're on to Mr. Johnson, Mr. Diebel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll do my best to keep us on track. I'll start with Article 2 on page 26 of the bill. Section 1 is from Representative Lesch's 1909 direct wine shipping. Sections 2 through 6 come from Representative Dean's House File 40, which relates to felon voting rights.
And if at any point there's someone who needs has questions, again, at this point, we're mostly just about technical things. Just give a wave and I'll call on you.
Mr. Chair, moving on to page 30, section 7 of Article 2 is another provision from Representative Lesch's direct wine shipping bill. Section 8 is the statewide sex trafficking investigation coordinator from Representative Pinto's House File 2785. On page 31, sections beginning with sections 9 through 12, those are also in Representative Lesch's direct wine shipping bill. That takes us all the way to section 13 on page 35 for the next segment, which sections 13 and 14 on page 36 are from Representative Sandsteed's House File 1520, CPR for 911 operators. On page 37, section 15 is another piece from Representative Dean's felon voting rights bill. Sections 16 and 17 are Representative Stevenson's House File 301 relating to burglary. Moving to page 39, this is from House File. Sections 18 through 23 are Representative Pinto's House File 560, which amends the term stalking and replaces it with harassment. flip forward to page 45, which picks up with section 24. This is another Representative Pinto bill, House File 901, and it relates to admitting prior evidence of misconduct in domestic abuse cases. Section 25 is Representative Kunesh Pudin's Task Force on Indigenous Women, which is House File 70. That carries through until the final section in Article 2, which is another piece from Representative Pinto's harassment definition change or term change from stalking. That can move to Article 3 on page 49. This is largely the Corrections Subcommittee Omnibus Bill with some changes. Section 1 is from Representative Sandell's House File 1575 regarding mental illness data. Section 2 on page 49 is from Representative Considine's House File 1399, the Ombudsman for Corrections. Sections 3 and 4 are from Representative Tabke's House File 733, which relates to body scanning equipment in prisons and jails. Moving to page 51, sections 5 through 8 are from Representative Christensen's House File 2127, which is the Department of Corrections agency bill. On page 52, the substance of the Ombudsman for Corrections language begins with section 9 and runs through sections 14. Pick up again on page 57 with another piece from Representative Christensen's Corrections Agency Bill relating to charges to counties. On page 58, section 16 is a piece from the Ombudsman Corrections Bill. Section 17 is Representative Zerwas's House File 493 related to administrative and disciplinary segregation. Moving forward to page 60, section 18, Chair Mariani's House File 2128, Indeterminate Sentencing Release Board. This is the language is in both section 18 and 19, on 61 and 62. On page 62, section 20, Representative Zerwas's House File 339 related to gang data retention. On page 63, section 21, is Representative Zerwas's House File 1020 regarding the use of modifying the requirement for same-sex escorts for inmates being transferred. On the bottom of page 63 is the Local Correctional Officers Discipline Procedures Act, which is Representative Chair Constein's House File 2010. That language carries forward to page 66, and where you'll find section 23, which is the substance of Representative Sandell's House File 1575 related to intake procedures and mental health screening of inmates. And at the bottom of page 66 is the Coordinated Crisis Response Plan, which is Chair Constein's House File 1948. And the final section in Article 3 is on page 67. It's a repealer, and this is also from Representative Christensen's agency bill, House File 2127. It repeals an obsolete provision related to juvenile offender reimbursement. Moving to Article 4, entitled Law Enforcement. Sections 1 through 3 come from House File 2710, and this is a bill authored by the chair, and it transfers the funding from the Post Board to the General Fund. Moving to page 69, Section 4, this is Representative Dean's U Visa Bill, House File 2367. On page 70, the Chair's House File 334, Section 5, related to the Post Board membership, increasing the number of public members from 2 to 4. On page 71, Section 6, is Representative Pinto's House File 627, the eyewitness ID policy required by adoption. At the bottom of page 71 is the chair's House File 2709, which is the collection of peace officer discipline data. That provision carries forward to page 74, where you'll find section 8, which is from Representative Moeller's House File 327, which requires agencies to adopt sexual assault investigation policies. At the bottom of page 74, sections 9 and then on section 10 on 75 are from Representative Kunesh Pudin's House File 719 relating to the jurisdiction of Indian police agencies. On page 75, you find the Peace Officer Excellent Task Force, which is from Representative Howard's House File 2324. And that concludes the substance of Article 4. Pending any questions, I'll move to a summary of Article 5.
Don't see any questions, but I'm taking my time so you can rest your voice. But please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Picking up with Article 5, sexual offenders. Section 1 on page 77, and actually sections 1 through 3, they contain pieces from Representative O'Neill's House File 480, Representative Wozlewick's House File 812, and Representative DeMuth's House File 491. And this relates to the definition of current or recent position of authority. On page 79, sections 4 and 5 are also related to the school employee sexual assault provisions in House File 491. At the top of page 80, is another piece from Representative Wozlewick's and Representative O'Neill's bills on current or recent position of authority, and also contains Representative Moeller's House File 1014, which is a clarification of the first degree CSC offense. On page 81, section 7, is another piece on the position of authority language from the both in the Wozlewick and O'Neill bills. On page 82, section 8 and 9 are from Representative O'Neill's bill, who actually contains pieces from several bills. Representative O'Neill's House File 80 removes the mistake of age defense and modifies the terms of the offense. It also contains Representative Lesh's peace officer sexual assault provision, which is House File 1055, and then it contains the aforementioned school employee sexual assault language. So moving forward to page 87, section 10, this is Representative Kunesh Pudin's House File 74 regarding the exception to fifth degree criminal sexual conduct for touching the clothed buttocks of a person without their consent. Moving to page 88, sections 11 to 19 are taken from Representative Grossel's House File 89 and relate to the child pornography provisions. The key modification is that the conditional release term is significantly reduced in the language here as it was introduced in the Representative Grossel's House File 89. Moving forward to page 91, section 20, this contains a technical cross-reference to update a reference to the term position of authority in Chapter 626. That section carries forward to page 97, where you'll find section 21, and this is from Representative O'Neill's House File 480 and Representative Gomez's House File 734, and this relates to modifications to the statute of limitation for sexual assault offenses. Moving forward to page 99, section 22 is from the chair's House File 341 and requires the Sentencing Guidelines Commission to study and the sex offender grid for compare the offenses and the where the offenses are ranked. Section 23 on page 99 is Representative Moeller's House File 418, which is the Criminal Sexual Conduct Statutory Reform Working Group. And the final section in Article 5 is Representative Stevenson's House File 15, which is the marital rape repeal. Mr. Chair, I'd ask that you recognize Mr. Johnson to continue with the summary of Article 6.
Well, thank you, Mr. Deewell. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm going to walk through Articles 6, 7, 8, and 9. Article 6 begins at page 100. Section 1 is House File 2351, which is Representative Brand's bill to add dimethyltryptamine to statutes dealing with methamphetamine offenses. Sections 2 through 5 are all from Representative Dean's House File 2013. This is new language from what was presented in committee. Section 2 reclassifies certain penalties, and Section 3 reclassifies certain penalties. These are felony offenses, and they are left in the existing fifth-degree controlled substance provision. Section 4 makes a conforming change related to those offenses. Section 5 is the new section that creates gross misdemeanor, misdemeanor, and petty misdemeanor felonies for sale and possession of certain amounts of marijuana. The section also includes some other non-felony marijuana offenses, for example, possession of marijuana in a motor vehicle and possession of a small amount of marijuana. Those are existing provisions now that have been moved to this section. On page 103, there's a conforming amendment for Representative Brand's House File 2351. That brings us all the way to page 107. Here there's another conforming change for Representative Dean's House File 2013. Section 8 is House File 793. This is Representative Vang's bill related to possession or sale of cannabidiol. Section 9 is another conforming change for Representative Brand's House File 2351. We're on to page 109. Section 10 is House File 717, which is the Chair's Cannabis Task Force bill. This version is slightly different from what was heard in committee. It includes a member with expertise on business liability and moves the task force to public safety instead of health. The final section in Article 6 is also from House File 2013. This is a repealer for the two provisions, possessing marijuana in a motor vehicle and possession of a small amount of marijuana, which have been moved to the new section in the bill. Moving on to Article 7, begins on page 112. These are provisions related to DWI. Sections 1 and 2 are from House File 1263. These are representative news changes to the snowmobile and ATV and motorboat provisions to further conform the off-road vehicle statutes to the regular motor vehicle statutes. Section 3 is from House File 1149. Representative Christensen's bill, which permits DNR officers to enforce DWI laws against all motor vehicles, not just off-road vehicles. We're on to page 114 now. Section 4 is House File 1001, Representative Pinto's bill related to using a permanent sticker to invalidate license plates instead of forcing law enforcement to physically remove the plates. Section 5 is House File 1002, also Representative Pinto's bill. This is the one that eliminates the DWI examination for individuals seeking to reinstate driver's license. Section 6 is another provision from House File 1001 related to the stickers on the license plates, as is Section 7. We're on to page 116 now, and Section 8, which is House File 628, Representative Lesch's bill that exempts motor vehicles from forfeiture when the driver enters the ignition interlock program. Section 9 is a conforming change for Representative Pinto's House File 1002. The final section in that article is Section 10. This was House File 469, Representative Quam's bill related to a study to identify intoxication thresholds for drivers operating under the influence of a controlled substance. This language has changed slightly and is now focused only on marijuana. We're on to Article 8. These are provisions that relate to other vehicle crimes and regulation. It begins on page 118. Section 1 is House File 1568, Representative Joachim's bill that makes light rail transit operators subject to reckless and careless driving. That's Sections 1 and 2. Sections 3 through 6 are from Representative Lesch's House File 1061. That's the bill that relates to driver's license reinstatement and prevents suspension for certain individuals who are operating on a suspended license. That brings us all the way to page 121, Section 7, which is from House File 898. This is Representative Lesch's bill that makes the driver diversion pilot program permanent. Section 8 is another provision from House File 1061. Sections 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 are all from House File 1955. This was Representative Mueller's bill. These provisions are from Article 3 of that agency bill, which changes the standards for wheelchair securement devices. That brings us to page 129. This is Section 14. This is another provision from House File 1061, which was Representative Lesch's driver's license bill. Section 15 is House File 1375, as are Sections 16, 17, and 18. This is Representative Considine's bill that amends the criminal vehicular homicide and operation statutes to include a driver who negligently operates a vehicle while in violation of the texting while driving statute. This does contain a cross-reference, and if the texting while driving statute becomes the hands-free statute, those changes would apply to this offense. That brings us to page 134. This is another provision of Representative Lesch's House File 898, the Driver Diversion Bill. This particular section ends the pilot program because it's being replaced by the permanent program. Section 20 is from House File 1061. Again, Representative Lesch's driver's license reinstatement bill. This makes the reinstatements retroactive. Section 20 is from House File 50. This is the traffic study from Representative Hornstein's hands-free bill. This is a different version from what appeared in this committee. This is the version that was voted on the floor. We're on to Section 22 at this point, the last section in the article, which is from House File 1955, Representative Mueller's bill addressing the wheelchair securement. Moving on to Article 9, we're on page 137 now. The first two provisions are from House File 1717. This was Representative Dean's bill requiring that a juvenile convicted of sentences that would result in life in prison be made eligible for parole after serving 25 years. On page 139, Section 3 is House File 997. This is a new language. It's from Representative Long's bill directing that the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines Commission adopt probation guidelines. The new language directs the Guidelines Commission to adopt early discharge targets instead of presumptive lengths of probation. The early discharge target is the time within which a defendant is expected to pay any restitution, complete any treatment, and demonstrate rehabilitation. Sections 4 and 5 are also from House File 997. These do not contain new language. We're on page 141 now. Sections 6 and 7 are from Representative Edelson's House File 1678, which relates to the use of restraints in juvenile proceedings. Section 7 is the provision that allows law enforcement to divert juveniles who would have been arrested. Section 8 is actually also from House File 1678 and deals with the use of risk assessments for juveniles. We're on page 142 now. House File 739 is the chair's bill related to the time limit for hearing post-conviction motions. Sections 10 through 13 are all from House File 707. This is Representative Lesch's bill that amends the statute on eligibility for compensation of exonerated persons. Brings us all the way to page 146. Sections 14 and 15 are from House File 1717. Again, Representative Dean's bill that's related to parole for offenders who committed crimes as juveniles. Section 16 is House File 591. This is Representative Edelson's Family Impact Statement Bill. This is slightly different from the version heard in committee. The first paragraph of that bill has been removed. That bill required the court to ask defendants about their status as a parent or guardian. Section 17 is from House File 689. This is new language for Representative Long's bill that caps probation at 5 years for most felony offenses. Most felony offenses under this provision are still capped at 5 years. There's an exception for several offenses, including murder, manslaughter, and felony sex offenses. This version permits the courts to extend probation for up to 3 years if the person fails to pay restitution or complete treatment, and permits a second extension of 2 years for the same reasons. It also permits a court to find that a person who committed a crime of violence remains a threat to public safety and to extend probation on those individuals for an additional 3 years. There's also a new provision that would apply to people who are currently on probation. Those individuals would be released from probation on August 1st, 2024, unless any of the extension criteria I previously described apply. Those are all contained in Sections 17, 18, 19, and 20. That brings us all the way to page 151. This is House File 997, again, Representative Long's bill. This is also a new provision. This section provides additional guidance to the courts in relation to those early discharge target. The target period is told if the person serves any time in custody for a probation violation or a new offense. There's a presumption that an offender will be released at the target, but a prosecutor or probation agent can request a hearing, and the court can deny release at that time for the factors listed in the bill. Section 22 is from House File 1717, another section of Representative Dean's bill related to the parole of juvenile offenders. We're to page 153, and here we're on House File 1057, Sections 23 and 24. These are Representative Lesch's expungement bill for individuals who had their identity stolen. Section 25 is on page 155. And Sections 25, 6, 7, and 8 are all from House File 707. And this is from Representative Lesch's bill related to the compensation of exonerated individuals. Section 29 on page 156 is from House File 689. A new provision from Representative Long's two probation bills. It's actually House File 689 and 997. This requires victim notification any time an offender is discharged early from probation. Section 30 is House File 741, Representative Noor's misdemeanor bail bill. Section 31 is House File 705, Representative Dean's bill requiring records to be sealed when a person receives a pardon extraordinaire. Section 32 is House File 1028. It's the alternative to incarceration bill from Representative O'Neill. We're on page 160, House File 689, a new provision from Representative Long's probation bill. This new section creates a grant program. It's similar to the Alternatives to Incarceration program, but targets grants to connect offenders who are on probation with a variety of services. Money in the grant is first available to Greater Minnesota before it becomes available to agencies in the metro. Sections 34, 35, and 36 are from House File 1678, which is Representative Edelson's bill dealing with juvenile restraints and risk assessments. Brings us to page 162. Section 37 is House File 474, Representative Stevenson's bill that creates a pilot project for probation supervision of offenders with mental illness. Section 38 is House File 1934, Representative Gomez's bill establishing a task force on the implementation of dosage probation. The final section in this article is on page 165. This is from House File 1717. It's the effective date for the various provisions relating to parole of offenders who committed crimes as juvenales. Mr. Chair, members, that's the end of Article 9. I'd ask that you recognize Mr. Diebel again to complete the overview.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll quickly summarize the remaining four articles. Article 10, entitled Firefighters, is Representative Pinto's firefighter licensing bill, House File 2395. That runs from page 166 to 173. Article 11, entitled Statewide Emergency Communication, on page 173, is from Representative Moeller's House File 1955. This is the agency's bill on the modifications that they deem necessary to the statutes regulating statewide emergency communications. That jumps forward to page 177, where you'll find Article 12. This is Representative Hertas's House File 981, the Uniform Collateral Consequences of Conviction Act. One significant change is from the version heard in committee is that this version allows an offender to petition for relief at any time after sentencing. Moving forward to Article 13 on page 187, this is entitled Predatory Offenders. Most of this provision is also from Representative Moeller's agency bill, House File 1955, Article 1. These are the recommended changes to the predatory offender registration statutes that the agency has proposed. It also contains Representative Zerwas's House File 1209. Mr. Chair and members, that concludes our summary of the Public Safety Omnibus Bill.
Very well. Thank you, Mr. Debo and Mr. Johnson and Mr. Walls. That only took us 40 minutes. That wasn't too bad. Members, we have a few minutes left. Any thoughts or comments? Representative Bowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as a freshman, I just want to say I'm really impressed with the staff here and really appreciate all of their hard work.
We're here. I think that deserves a round of applause. It was kind of fun to come in a weekend and see them in jeans and, you know, plaid shirts and those kind of things.
So but,
yeah, I was about to say, I don't think they thought it was fun. So. Yes, Representative Lemieux.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just kind of circling back, you had in your walkthrough, the one that you did, Chair, you had said that House File 1589, which is that's the ignition interlock bill, what you had intended to have that in there, but it wasn't actually in the language, and I intend to bring an amendment to add it and just wanted to let you know that. And I believe our fiscal staff will be looking at a new fiscal note because the original bill had a larger fiscal note because it was some things that the agency literally weren't able to accomplish, as I had said in the hearing. So I removed those portions. So just so you know that there'll be a new fiscal note that hopefully will be very, very minimal, if hopefully zero, because there's not a whole lot of extra work. Just pulling in some new people into the program is really essentially all that it's left with. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention as well.
Thank you very much. Representative O'Neill, why don't we connect a little bit later today? What I'd prefer to do is to bring that language into with the author's amendment, particularly so that we can be careful as we look at the fiscal costs. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
So
I would
coordinate that with those.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd appreciate that as well because, you know, especially as we talked previously and looking at your walkthrough, I think that was the intention. And things change, and I know that it's a big bill, a lot of pages and a lot of language, so I appreciate you doing that.
It's important for us to have done the walkthrough. I know it probably looks a little boring, particularly for the public, but it's precisely to be able to catch these kind of things.
And my last point is when you were doing the walkthrough, so sort of the reverse, the Hannah bill that I did when we had Hannah Trosseth here, you did put some of the provisions, not all of them, because some of them were just quite not ready to be put in, but you did put some of the provisions in, and that wasn't in the walkthrough, but just so I get that on the record also, that House File 480 does have some of the provisions in. And some of the provisions were also in other bills. And why I drafted that, I didn't even know that that was going to be the case. And so statute of limitations and position of authority were both in my bill that were in bills that came after mine, too. So just wanted to acknowledge that. And I know that she's probably watching because she's really excited to know if some of those provisions made it in. And even though it wasn't in the overall presentation, that language is in there. And I do want to thank Representative Moeller, too, for helping do some fine-tuning, and I did see that in the language as it is, that we worked on some fine-tuning that Mincasa had asked for, so I appreciate that as well. So we were able to eliminate the mistake of age as a defense, and then we changed the ages just a little bit, but that's all in the language too. So Hannah, we've got it in there.
Yes, indeed, and then thank you for putting that on the record, and I know some of this is also provisions that are going to, that we're expecting the task force to look at some of those provisions, I think, particularly the intoxication defense, I think, was one that lended itself, and I think I'm seeing both of you nodding in agreement, is something that we can have the task force then pay close attention to. But I think it is important to highlight and lift up these issues, and that's part of our conversation early in the year, Representative O'Neill, that we knew that we were pushing the boundaries here, but that it was important to push them and to do so in a very transparent way.
And thank you, Mr. Absolutely. Chair. And one other thing I wanted to get on the record, too, because already it's on social media, as people don't quite understand how this process works. And unfortunately, there was an advocate out there that was very passionate about the statute of limitations portion. And she had already published on social media that it was dead for the year and was very upset. And so I corrected her on social media. But I just want to say to anyone that's listening, the statute of limitations change is in here.
Yes, it is.
And so it was both in my provision in my bill and also in a separate bill. So that is in there. It is alive and well. So for those that are listening, that is alive and well. Thank you.
And Representative O'Neill, I suspect there will be amendments on that, as well as a number of things in the bill. So for those who are watching, this isn't the end. This is really only the beginning, if you will, in terms of marking up this bill. And, so if you really want to watch good drama, Thursday would be a good time for the public to tune in. So. All right. Well, with that, members, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you all again tomorrow at our regularly posted meeting time in this room. And until then, this committee stands adjourned.